Hello, internet radio listeners out there in internet radio land. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio, Texas. It's 6 p.m. Saturday evening, and here I am out of my patio enjoying this beautiful weather. There's a breeze coming through here. And so my show has begun, and I've got 1 hour to talk about all kinds of things. And I do have a lot of things to talk about. I've been writing down these things to talk about over the last 2 weeks. And what a beautiful medium, perfect medium to have to be able to express my what I'm passionate about, and knowing that there are people out there who share my passion and want to make the world a better place. And there's so many incredible things to talk about. I mean, wow. I was telling my wife today, we went out to lunch after Zumba at the local gym, and I said, I would really like to have, if I could afford it, I would love to have a radio show every day, 1 hour every day, because I've got so many things to talk about. And it's a great way to just talk, you know. I can take my time, and it enhances my public speaking skills, too, because I know you're out there. I know you're listening. Even if it was only just one person, that would be okay. I go to these Toastmaster meetings. I've been a Toastmaster for over 10 years now. And sometimes there's not a lot of people that attend because they're busy at work or for whatever reason they can't make it. And so sometimes there's only three or four, five, six people. Like last Thursday, I gave a speech about Route 66. Remember Route 66 in the U.S.? It was established in 1926, went from Chicago to L.A., and it's over 2,000 miles, 2,448 miles, and it connected the northern United States with the western United States, and people migrated along that route. Communities were established, you know, the road that kind of helped build those communities, put money into them. There were Dairy Queens, burger joints, ice cream, selling ice cream, malts, root beer, you know, and motels all along the way, and then attractions like Indian farms, not farms, but places where they had tiki set up, and snake farms, crocodile farms. They have all wildlife all along the way, you know, the buffalo, the wild animals. And so it was discontinued around 1985 when they put in the interstate highway system in the United States. And towards the end of the speech, I sang a song about Route 66 that Bobby Troup made in 1946 and made famous by Nat King Cole the same year. And it goes something like this. It goes, if you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66. Now it goes through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, and Oklahoma City looks mighty pretty. You see Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona. Don't forget Winona, Kingman, Barstow, San Bernardino. Won't you get hip to this timely tip? When you make that California trip, get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66. Anyway, so Nat King Cole made that song famous. It's a really neat song. I know a couple of other songs by him. Unforgettable and Nature Boy. That's a really cool song. Anyway, how have you been, people, over the last couple of weeks? My last show was 2 weeks ago. And I was telling Doug just before he started my show that what I've been doing, a little summary of everything to include being busy at work and exercising, doing Zumba, singing with the choir. I sing my karaoke songs. I call them karaoke songs, but actually, it's the music with no words. And I don't look at the monitor, you know, it's great. I just love it because it's like a brain exercise. It really helps me to think better, to talk better. I did a couple of songs too just before the show. One was Take It Easy by the Eagles. How many of you know that song? And what was the other one? I can't remember. Doesn't matter. Anyway, so I've got all these things written down here to talk about. And so my show is about spirituality. And I know that we're here on Earth to develop ourselves spiritually. The great original supreme creator of the universe who initiated all of what we see in front of us, all that exists from nothing into something with the Big Bang all those millions of years ago. Now, I was thinking today, well, what before that happened, what existed? Well, the Supreme Spirit, the Great Spirit existed, God, the creator of the universe, male and female, and darkness, silence. But then why did God want to put the things in motion that we are a part of today? Very simply, my friends, in my opinion, to reproduce. Think about it. That's what we're doing. We're growing. We're expanding. The universe is expanding. We are like grandchildren, if you will, of the creator of the universe. And there is irrefutable logic in that because we trace our family tree as far back as it goes in me. I have relatives in England. My parents were English, you know, it's all a good show, that kind of English. And I have a cousin whose name is Bob Ruby. And he traced our family tree back to 1610 in the London area. But you know that it goes way, way back to the beginning. Now, per the book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet, which is my Bible, I love the Bible. It has so much beautiful wisdom. But then there's other books that have a lot of incredible information about where we came from. I mean, who came to this planet first, you know? Many million, many thousands and thousands of years ago, my friends. So anyway, in this book, and like I said, I just respect and revere this book because all that the author talks about is enlightening information, and he puts it in a way that's really funny. He's an incredible author. And he said, when he was taken to this planet in our Milky Way galaxy called Byaruba by these extraterrestrials, I'm going to take a drink of water. These extraterrestrials who are approximately 9 feet tall. Imagine that. That's like looking up at the ceiling of my patio here, and that's about maybe 9 feet tall. And they're hermaphrodite, like transgender beings. And don't be frightened to listen to this kind of thing, my friends, because, you know, with all the war and killing in the world that has existed throughout the centuries and is still going on now, would you rather see a movie about people getting killed, all this fantasy violence that Hollywood has, or read a book about near-death experiences of people that go to heaven, people that have encounters with extraterrestrials? Now, that there's some really scary stuff on that. More scary than war and killing? I don't think so. That's the frame of mind that people had. I wrote this down. Remember back in Jesus' day when Pontius Pilate had Jesus and Barabbas in front of the crowd? Jesus, who had done all the miracles, he had the miracle performer, just perfect, you know, in holiness. No sin, right? And Barabbas, the murderer. Who did the people want? No doubt they were intimidated by the Sanhedrin, but still. Who would you shout for? Would you shout for Barabbas to set him free or Jesus to set Jesus free? Well, I think I would shout for Jesus and let the chips fall where they may. That's just, I give that as an example of the way some people think when it comes to spirituality and learning about spirituality. And really, I'm getting old, I'm 60, I'll be 64 in August. And I realized that my parents were really instrumental in putting me on this pathway to develop myself spiritually, and perhaps more so than other people. And there were circumstances in my life that also put me on that path, like having a kidney transplant, donating one of my kidneys to my son. And also, I was in the Army, and I almost got killed one time. That's another reason, too. You get on the highways these days, and some people, you know, they have accidents, and some close to dying, some people die. So anyway, don't be afraid, my friends, to learn about spirituality. That's why we're here, and it's meant to be hard, okay? That's the way our Creator, Spirit, Mother, and Father, when I say God, I can either mean God the Father, God the Mother, or the combination of the two, the Godhead, right? Or the Supreme Creator of the universe. That is God also. So back to where I was with these beings from Sayuba. And they're out there. They really are. And their planet is a veritable paradise compared to Earth here. And they taught Michael Desmarquette, the author of the book, many incredible things. When he was there on the planet, during his transportation to their planet. And apparently what he was told is that their planet is one of the three most technologically and spiritually advanced. So spirituality and technology really have to drive together, my friends. And here on Earth, our technology is expanding beyond our spiritual lives. You know, it should be equal. But anyway, that is an amazing read. I'm going to branch off now. I kind of lost my train of thought as to the point I was getting at with these extraterrestrials. And, you know, there really is life out there. We don't need NASA to spend billions of dollars to prove it. All it takes is enough intelligence to bridge the gap between belief and understanding. So are you intelligent enough to recognize that the Supreme Creator of the universe is capable of doing anything, anywhere? And here on Earth, throughout the centuries, we've had plenty of evidence that they exist. But yet people ignore that for some reason. Well, I know why. Because they resist evolution. The resistance to evolution is quite a thing, really. But consider, my friends, and I know you've heard about the Phoenix Light. In 1997, a mile-wide spacecraft flew over the city of Phoenix, Arizona at nighttime. And at least 10,000 people saw it. Now, you think, logically, 10,000 people are going to make a story up about what they saw. And, I mean, do you trust your senses, your eyes, and your ears? Then why would you tell someone that they don't have command of their vision or their hearing? You can't. Not logically, really. So there is, and you could say that the United States made it for, you know, an Area 51. Really? A one-mile-wide spacecraft floating over the city of Arizona at nighttime, not making a noise, not a single noise, with lights flashing. Read about it on the Internet. Over 10,000 people. You think they're all crazy? And in Hudson Valley, United States, up there in New York in the 80s, over 5,000 people saw a triangle-shaped spacecraft, a smaller version. 5,000 people. You think they're crazy, too? No. My friends, we don't need any evidence. We don't need them to land somewhere and get out and shake hands with us. That's why we haven't made contact But fortunately, there's people like me that want to talk about the truth. And DBS Radio, thank God for them, you know, for the medium to for people like me to express myself. And there are many wonderful people that have shows on DBS Radio talking about great things, incredibly intelligent, beautiful people. In fact, there's so many people out there who are really beautiful, real people. That's who I want to learn about, know about. People who have stories to tell us about their everyday lives, things that they've encountered. Not this fantasy violence like the Avengers new movie about the destruction of the universe. My God, what will they do next, my friends? Do you think it's going to stop? Do you think it has any benefit to us watching this? And I'm guilty sometimes. I see these movies, but I'm always thinking in the back of my mind, you know, oh, well, these actors, it's nice to see them, you know. It's nice to see them acting, and they have talent and skills. What about me? And I'm thinking, what about me? But I like them. I like watching them. I like Tom Cruise. And usually when I'm surfing the cable TV channels, I'll see him in a movie, and I like his mannerisms. I like the way he looks. You know, he's cool. He's a cool guy. And so, like, Chris Hemsworth, you know, Thor, and the Avengers, he's a neat guy, too. But all this fantasy violence, let me ask you something. Do you think it's possible that watching those movies actually for people out there that might not have been in full control of their mental faculties, that could help them or spur them, trigger them to do something violent in the real world? Well, how about this? Let me ask you, when you go to bed at night, just before you go to bed, if you were to watch a movie like John Wick 2, where he kills 112 people, you saw that movie just before you went to sleep, do you think you would sleep well? No, because those are what we call harmful impressions. We all want a good night's sleep, right? We want to sleep like we did before. Hey, y'all out there, remember when you were babies? I was thinking about that today. We were all babies once, you know? We were the babies. Yeah. Anyway, let me go over here and... as I mentioned to you before, you know, it's my show, and I bounce around saying one thing or another. So anyway, learning spirituality, yeah, we need to. And there's a lot of other people that are saying the same thing. You know, religion is also a way of expressing yourself spiritually. Although, in regard to the Bible, I really don't like saying anything bad about the Bible. And I don't want to say anything negative really on my show, but I'll say this, that, and you know, there's so many different religions, but the Bible, it has so much beauty and wisdom in it. Like, I'm continually amazed at some of the things that they wrote about way back then, you know, many, many centuries ago, when they didn't have really any technology. And the living back then was hard, very difficult. And yet these people, they had conversations with God, if you will, who inspired them to write what has become the Bible. And then it went through translations, and it went through interpretations. But still, it is the best account of divine intervention that we've had in the history of our world. And that's what I really like about it. And I go to church, the chapel, the Air Force Chapel on Lackland Air Force Base, Freedom Chapel, once a week. I sing with the choir, so we practice on Wednesday night. And sometimes I read the scriptures, and I really enjoy reading the scriptures, because I know that when we get to heaven, when we transition from this life into the next life, when we're going to be in the spirit and the soul, like in my book, The Great Brain, The Golden Soul, the soul is the brain of the spirit. Very simple. You need some way to power the body, you know, to guide the body, the thinking, the memory, And the difference between the brain and the soul is that the soul has memories of past lives. Yes, my friend, reincarnation is true. It is a reality. That's part of God's plan. The reproduced part, the reproducing of the children, the grandchildren of God throughout the universe, not only here on Earth, other than in our solar system, but in other solar systems, elsewhere in our galaxy and in other galaxies, there are many planets capable of holding life. Don't forget, the Creator is unlimited in his or her power. He or she can do anything, anywhere. That's very logical and obvious here on Earth, but all the life that we have, I like saying this, thousands of different varieties of life, insects, amphibians, mammals, birds, fish, reptiles, different bodies. God is a body maker. He's also a planet. He is also a planet maker. Imagine that. What can you create? What can we create as a human, as human beings here on Earth? We can't even create an ant or an apple seed. We don't even know how to do that. Well, I wrote some things down here. I want to read it now because I like reading. And I'm just going to read about my rationale for a mother God. I talked about this in the last show. And I think the realization that there is a mother God is going to help make the world a better place. Really do. And it will bring world peace, too, I think. Unless someone, I know there's other great ideas out there to help make the world a better place and to stop all the war and killing that's been going on all these years. Don't be afraid of spirituality, my friends. Are you more? Why would you be more afraid of spirituality than war and killing? Anyway, so let me read this. It goes, for all those people who believe in the Spirit Father, the Bible, what makes you think he doesn't want a woman by his side? What makes you think he doesn't want to reproduce? How would you, do you think he makes his children here on Earth? Do you think that you are a child of God, the Father? Then how did he make you? If you don't know, why not? Why didn't you think of that? Do you think that Jesus is his only son? Do you really think that? Why would a father only want one son? If we are not the children of God, the Father, then who are we? I'll answer all those questions for you. If you are people who believe everything the Bible says, you are limited in your thinking. You are the type of people who believe what you are told and don't question it. I present you with irrefutable logic, and you don't want to hear it, and you try to forget it. You really think the people who wrote the Bible all those centuries ago had all the answers? Their technology was very limited back then, don't you agree? You think that God appeared to them and told them what to write, look over their shoulder? The only time God appeared, as far as I know, is the burning bush to Moses. Otherwise, it was either angels or Jesus. And let's get one thing straight. The Son is not the Father, and the Father is not the Son. Two separate beings. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven. We didn't say mother, did it? Anyway, we've been duped into believing what people want us to believe. Mainly, there is a Father God, but no Mother God. But because Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, maybe he said, our parents who art in heaven. They just wrote that down wrong. Mainly, there is a Father God and no Mother God. Why? Dominance, my friend, subjugation, tyranny, bullying, it started a long time ago. And now the logic I present will help set you free. A lot of what the Bible says is true, but not all of it. Think for yourself. Go to your grave as an independent thinker who doesn't believe everything they are told. Would you kill me because I say that? Set yourself free. Help make the world a better place. And by the way, if you want to hurt somebody because they don't believe what you believe, if you want to kill somebody because they say something bad about what you believe, and maybe what you believe isn't the truth, think about that. Help make the world a better place, a more maternal society will benefit us all. More female leadership is a good thing. Think how close we came to having a woman female president here in the United States. What a shame, really, it didn't happen. That's all I'd say about that. That's how we will have peace in the world, my friend. Peace, world peace, real peace. Oh, and please, limit yourself watching fantasy violence movies that are only leading us to self-destruction. And remember, some of the directors, producers are sexual abusers, hey? Not all, I know, but there may be more women, there should be more women directors and producers. I already said that. Is it possible that what you believe in isn't the truth? And let me say again that I think the Bible is a beautiful account of divine intervention, beautiful wisdom, but it doesn't have all the answers, and some things, I think, are not true. And now we have established through irrefutable logic that there is a Mother God, okay? Just think how it might have been possible to avoid all the wars and killings we've had over the centuries. So maybe the Bible, in a way, did us a disservice. What do you think about that? The Bible told us there was a Mother God. Indeed, it would have established a more peaceful civilization, don't you think? In our backyard, I'm looking at it right now, there's a plum tree. There's a nest with a red father cardinal and a brown mother cardinal. Beautiful birds. I love cardinals. How about you? Do you? Soon, I imagine, the eggs are going to hatch, and some baby cardinals will be born, my friends. Did you ever think that the Father God could have children without a mother? You don't. No. Why didn't you think of that? Why don't you realize it? What you don't realize is you're missing pieces of the jigsaw puzzle of your belief system, so to speak. Empirical evidence, my friend. It takes a mother and a father to have children. There is no other way. That's the universe we live in. And if we are the children of God, If we are the children of God, then we must have a mother God. Don't be fooled anymore, please. So, reincarnation, changing the subject, my friends. Is it possible to be reincarnated back into time or into the future? What do you think? There is no time, only the movement of the universe, the rotation of the planets, the revolutions, and the rotation of the planets and moons. So, our world is revolving around the sun and rotating on its axis. And so the other planets and the moons are held into place by the gravity of the planets, and they also revolve, right? And reincarnating on planets of higher evolutionary status. That's what it's all about, We're here on Earth to develop ourselves spiritually. And when we graduate from this existence, I said graduate, yes. We're living in the university of the universe, my friends. And so we need to do things to help us to evolve and develop spiritually, like being more kind. Very simple, huh? Seeking the Creator. By the way, did you know that angels are both male and female? You know they exist. The original Creator, the Supreme Creator, is both male and female. Yeah. The Creator of the Big Bang is male and female. This incredibly huge, large, beautiful spirit. Just to give you an idea of how big the Supreme Creator is, the Great Spirit, a galaxy would be dwarfed in size. I mean, compared to a galaxy, much, much bigger than a galaxy. And you know how big galaxies are, like 100,000 of light years in diameter. Oh, my friends. Einstein, now there was a smart man. Did you know, I'm going to branch off a little bit here. Did you know that Einstein never wore socks? His rationale for not wearing socks was because every time he put a sock on, his big toe would create a hole in his sock. Well, I did a little research and found out that Einstein actually had a bigger toe than a normal human being. So it's true, but you want to put a little bit of step in your life, my friend, increase your step. And I've been trying this. I've been going without socks. And I feel better because I noticed that when I had socks on, and maybe it's because at work, I've gone to a sit-down workstation. I've been standing up for most of the day. So that's 8-9 hours a day standing up, you know, before I was sitting down. But I've noticed that when I've been wearing socks, I take them off at the end of the day. It looks like my ankles are constricted, you know, where the band of the sock is. And I know it can't be good. And also, I've got these, like, varicose veins in my ankles. And you probably have some, too, especially when you get older, right? But I've started wearing, even at work, you know, I've been wearing no socks. And I work in a pretty official kind of solemn environment, you know. And Einstein said that he never wore socks, even in the most solemn of occasions, you know, like parties or special events that he would go to. So there you have one of the most smartest men, one of the smartest men in the world, right? He said that socks didn't work for him, and I'm feeling better that I'm not wearing socks now. And I know you think you might have stinky feet. Well, it's true, our feet do sweat. But how many times a day do you take a shower? You can always wash your feet. And this is a friendly tip. I'm going to give you a couple more here in just a minute. But you can also put talcum powder in your shoes. You've got to get a pair of comfortable shoes. New Balance, I recommend New Balance. Or some of the other brands, you know. And you don't have to go, like, doing a marathon. If you can run a marathon, maybe you do need, like, a thin one of those no-show socks, you know. Because your feet then, you can get blisters, but I haven't got any blisters yet. So, and I'll tell you something else about myself. I've been experimenting taking cold showers now for 2 years, and maybe I learned this from my mother. She said that when she washed her hair, and she had really good looking hair even when she was 81 years old and she passed away, she had mainly black hair on her head, you know, very few gray hairs. She said, Blake, don't forget to rinse your hair very well and rinse it with cool or cold water. So after you shampoo your hair up, then when you wash it off, don't rinse it off with warm or hot water, because the pores, you don't get all the soap out of the pores, and that's one of the causes of people going bald or graying, right? So check it out on the internet, my friend. It's called cold water therapy, and there's a lot of benefits to that, to include if you're dealing with allergies, it'll help you deal with allergies. Now, don't remember, check with your physician first before you do this, right? I don't want to get in trouble for people maybe jumping into a shower and having a cold shower and having a heart attack, and it's hard to do in the wintertime. Here in San Antonio, it's not too bad, but up north, you know, places like New York, if you want to try cold water therapy, then you probably need to put a little bit of warm water into it, you know. But it's got other benefits, like increasing the circulation, helping the breathing. And for those people that get really frightened from public speaking, you know, being in front of a group of people and having to talk, yeah, you know who you are. You know the feeling that you get. You find it difficult to talk and breathe. I guarantee you jump into a cold shower before you have to do that, and you feel the same way. It'll help you to get over that. It'll help you to deal with that discomfort. So that's another tip for you. Don't just believe me. Check it out on the internet. There's a lot of information about cold water therapy. Yeah, it's a little bit tough, you know, depending on when you take your showers, in the early morning or nighttime before you go to bed. It'll help you sleep better, too. That's what they say. I think it does. But, yeah, check out the testimonials on that. And so you get yourself a nice pair of shoes. I got the top-of-the-line New Balance. Pay for what you get, really. Paid $130 from AC, the Armed Forces Exchange. They're really good shoes. I wear them to Zumba, and I just feel like jumping all over the place, you know, now that I've got plenty of using socks. And also, when you, if your friendly tips, take them or not, you know, it's up to you. When you work out, I've noticed that, and I did a little research on the internet, if you're going to move to music, you know, if you're going to exercise with music, but I don't recommend using earphones because you can't, you're not in touch with your breathing. You can't hear yourself breathing. And it's dangerous if you go running around the neighborhood, you know, not being aware of cars, dogs. There's something about earphones that just doesn't seem quite right to me, but it's up to you. That's just my opinion. And fresh air, my friends, and cars, too. Now, we rely, obviously, driving down the freeways. I'm looking all around me, and I see most of the cars don't have their windows down, you know, but the windows up, and they're breathing that air conditioning that their engine, car engine, is producing, which is a mixture of outside air and whatever else, you know, it gets processed through the filters. And that's not really good for you, you know. I'd recommend that you put your car windows down, get fresh air. We live in an environment, and it's the same at work, an oxygen-depraved environment. And as human beings, we need to be smarter and know how we can live optimally, you know, have our bodies function optimally, to be the best people we can be. And we need fresh air, oxygen, nitrogen. And some buildings just, you know, like the one I work in, I try to get outside as often as I can, get some fresh air and sunshine, you know, vitamin D. But fresh air is so important, especially when we sleep at night, too. I have a window right next to my bed, and I have the window open, and I can tell the difference when I, like, I had a nap this afternoon. I didn't realize that the window was closed. I woke up, and I just, my body felt different. So, and also, when I was driving home from work, I was having a hard time, and I had the windows up, the air conditioning on, having a hard, really, really hard time keeping my eyes open. And then I tried this before many, many, many times, and when I drive to work in the morning, I have a little chink on my side, you know, the driver's side, now on the passenger side, open, you know, and I was getting air that way. I've got the vent closed to stop any air coming from the cabin filter, you know, from the air conditioning or the vents, in other words. And I think it's better, but it's just a friendly tip. Take it or leave it, you know. And so, now to change the subject on the fly here, the return of Jesus. Do you think Jesus Christ, and just because I might say I don't believe everything the Bible says, would you condemn me for that? I believe, let's say, 90% of the Bible. But I realize that there's been some interpretations throughout the centuries. And back then, it was really, really a fraternal society. And indeed, people wanted to make money. And indeed, subjugation and dominance was on their minds, especially, you know, how women were treated back then. The kind of way they're treated in the Middle East now, that's not a good thing, is it? Really, we're all equal. And that leads me to something else I wanted to talk about. I'm going to give you a parable, a couple of parables from Blake, okay? The parable of two brothers. Okay, it goes like this. So these parents, they have a brother, I mean a son. And then 4 years later, another son is born. So these two brothers, they're 4 years apart. Now, which one of these children, do you think that the parents are going to love the son who's older or love the son who was just born? Well, the answer is really that they should love both of them equally. And so in the world that we live in the society that we live in the civilization that we live in, haven't you noticed that there's a lot of people who think they're better than others? They have either more money or more beauty, or they're younger, you know? Age discrimination is real. So what about the homeless person on the street? Is he equal? Should he be, he be equal to us? The answer is yes. We're all children of the Spirit Mother and Father in heaven, who are the Godhead. And I'm going to just give you a quick little belief that I have in regard to how our spirit parents create. I mentioned this in other shows before. It's called Merging of the Spirit. And you find your soulmate. And indeed, when we are created, we have a soulmate. We are two parts to a whole. And you might have known that. In fact, you know everything. Your spirit and your soul knows most things. That's why it's important to you while here on Earth in the physical body and the brain to develop yourself spiritually, because you're going to take all the knowledge and the light, well, light just being spirits of light, we increase our light. So you want your light to shine even brighter than when you first came here, when you were born in this world. Yeah, when you leave this world, when you transition into the next existence. And it's to explain it, it's like another realm. It's like when you dive underwater, you're looking around, you're holding your breath. It's like another dimension. But I was saying that we're all equal, you know. Money, power shouldn't put people above other people. You and I, we are equal. We might be advanced souls, we might be young souls, but we are all equal. We are the children of God. We're the grandchildren of the supreme creator of the universe. And even though we might be an advanced soul or a young soul or an intermediate soul, we're still the children of God and we're still equal. We need to get on an equal basis, women especially. That's why a more maternal society will bring world peace, as I mentioned. That's the way to do it, my friends. So let me look at some of my other notes here. How'd you like that? Okay, there was one other parable I wanted to give you. Now, I noticed, you know, there's always a lot of competition going on in the world, with sports especially. I mean, the competition has gotten to the point where it is so bad. I mean, it's cutthroat, really. Stab you in the back kind of competition. My city is better than your city, you know. And don't get me wrong, I like watching these people. They're great. They're so athletic. And they're like God, in a way. We are all like God. We are all being children of God. We are meant to be like God. We're meant to be co-creators. And it's in my book. If you look, my book's called The Great Brain, The Golden Soul in the Amazon Kindle bookstore. I talk about, you know, reincarnation and working their way up the evolutionary ladder to one life after another to become like God. Almost co-creator God, really. That's what we are. We're apprentices. And then one day, way into the future, you will have command of your own solar system. How about that? With your soulmate. And I was in the process of, and I told you I jumped from subject to subject, so I get kind of sidetracked, but I was talking about how the Spirit Mother and Father create. It's called merging of the spirits. Now, it also requires synchronization of thoughts and words spoken. So, you know, the way we reproduce here on Earth as physical human beings is similar to the way it's done in the spirit realm. Yeah, but the spirits actually merge into one. And then the thinking and the words spoken create. Just like it says in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And so words actually create. That's why it's very important to you to use good words. So as I mentioned before, there's three ways to develop yourself spiritually, the way I see it. Be kind. Always be kind. Be nice. Be nice. Always nice. Keep you cool. Take more cold showers. Don't get so hot. Lose your temper. Seek the Creator. Seek the truth. Seek the Creator and seek the truth. So the parable of the two sons, not the brothers, but the sons. Because of all the competition, you know, there's basketball going on here. Pretty soon, two teams are going to the NBA Finals, right? So just use that as an example. So let's say you had two sons. This is Blake's parable. And so you had a son on each of the teams that are in the NBA Finals. Let's say that as an example. Okay, so you're the father or mother of these sons. And one son is on one team, and the other son is on the other team. Well, then, who would you want to win? Who would you want to win? Would you care? Oh, there's two hummingbirds out here. One of them just landed on the... Hi, little fella. How you doing? Two hummingbirds. One just landed on the screen of my patio, and he was stuck there for a second and just flew away. How about that? Yeah. Two hummingbirds are flying together, and one of them just clung to the screen of my patio. It looked like he stuck his beak inside the screen and was just sitting there. The other one flew off, and he was looking at me. So, anyway, let me continue this. Who would you want to win? Would you care? You'd really care about how they made their plays, right? You'd want to see them make good plays, make good shots. But you wouldn't care about who won. And my point is, that's the way we need to look at the competition, that it's really gotten out of control in our world. Don't you agree? And I'm guilty of, you know, choosing sides, as I've done before in the past. I'm trying to get away from it, and so I'm talking about this to help myself and to help you. So the point is, value players on both teams. Value the plays that they make, the skill involved in the plays they make. Don't ignore the other side, because they are real people just like you and me. They don't like to lose. No one likes to lose. And so competition is good. I can see the value in competition, but really, I think the way we need to head is a feeling of cooperation more than competition. A feeling of loving each other. You know, we should be adoring each other as human beings. That's what I've heard stories of some extraterrestrials that are out there, those trillions that are out there, my friends. Remember I told you about the Phoenix Lights and the Hudson Valley UFO. Read those about those on the internet. You can't logically say that 10,000 and 5,000 people are crazy, that they didn't see what they saw. That is evidence. That is irrefutable logic. And you can't say that the U.S. made that spacecraft. We don't have the technology, even at Area 51, a spacecraft that would fly a mile wide, like the one that flew over Phoenix, in 1997, and not make any noise. We don't have that technology. And if we did, it would have been known by now, right? Logical? Don't be illogical. Be logical. Come on. So, let me see. I'm running out of time here. I only got a few more minutes. You know, I always say a prayer every time I get in my car. Oh, my God. I tell you, people, it is frightening driving to work, driving around on the highway systems, you know. I've been doing it for many, many years. And I see lots of potential danger driving down the freeway. Doesn't that frighten you? I mean, not only life and death, but also a lot of money involved, you know, with accidents. Anyway, so I always say a prayer before I'm always saying prayers, actually, before I start out on the road. And so let me tell you about, let me finish up telling you about reincarnation. It's all about evolution, my friends. We leave this life without having attained the evolution you were destined to achieve, you have to try again on this planet or another planet elsewhere in the universe for a similar evolutionary category. Yeah, because here on Earth, this planet is of a lower evolutionary category, the lowest. Otherwise known throughout the universe as the planet of sorrows, because of all the war and killing we had in the past. How could you forget that? And even still going on now, and you think you're invincible? We're not invincible. That's why it behooves you to develop yourself spiritually as much as possible. I told you how to do it, right? Seek the Creator. Do it through prayer. Seek the truth in everything. Be kind. Say nice things. And I was telling you in my last show about the continent of Lemuria, otherwise known as Mu. And there was Atlantis, too. So, in the book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet, according to the author, what they told him, these extraterrestrials told him, was that the first beings that came to this planet was approximately, 1,500,000 years ago. And they came from a planet in our Milky Way galaxy known as Bacchaturini. And there were two different races, a race of Asian people and a race of black people. The black people settled in Australia and then moved around the world. And the Asian people settled in Burma and China. And then there were some white, there was a white race that came from some planet, I don't know, he didn't mention it in the book, and established the continent of Atlantis. Anyway, the continent of Lemuria, they were very advanced technologically and spiritually. And you know how they dealt with murders and rapes? First of all, if someone was accused of either of those crimes, they would put this individual into a room, and they would have like a two-way mirror where they would observe his or her behavior or maybe a couple of weeks, and they would put make these noises and see how they reacted. So they were like mind readers. This is what they did in their civilization, from what I read. And they had pretty cool technology. That was around 15,000 years ago, you know, when it was finally wiped out by major cataclysms all over the planet. So then when this group of mind readers established that the individual was indeed guilty of what he or she was being accused of, then if it was murdered, then they would be thrown into a group of crocodiles, be eaten alive. Wouldn't that be a pretty good deterrent for murder, my friends, murdering somebody? And if it was rape, then they would be buried close to an ant's nest and up to their head and have their head covered with honey. And that would be a very slow and painful death. It was probably worse, actually. I don't know what would be worse. What do you think? That way or being thrown to a bunch of crocodiles? Anyway, suffice it to say, they had very little murder or rape in that society. And I'm running out of time here, but my next show, I want to tell you about a situation that I had when I was on my senior trip in high school. I went to the beach in Mexico, living in Guadalajara, Mexico, with my parents, and I saved one of my classmates from getting raped. And I had a situation with this Mexican fisherman. He punched me and could have killed me. Anyway, I saved this one of my high school classmates from getting raped. And so, my friends, only have a couple minutes left here. I want to ask you to raise women up. Tomorrow's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. You are great co-creators with God. You need to be lifted up on the pedestal. You need to be revered more. You need to be treated more with respect for the co-creators of God that you are. Having a baby, babies grow in your bodies. Oh, my God. That is very godlike. You deserve not only to be treated equally, you deserve to be the leaders in our society. A more maternal society will bring world peace, I think. And we don't want to destroy ourselves, right? In my opinion, that is the future, a more maternal society. And so, my friends, respect your mothers. Mothers are incredible. My mother passed away back in 1999. I miss her. She was a beautiful, beautiful person. Everyone that she encountered. They loved her. And so I ask that the creator of the universe would bless us, everyone. If I can, the movie or book, Christmas Carol, Tiny Tim, said, may God bless everyone. Please say that prayer more often. That way, the homeless person on the street, everybody will be blessed. Okay? I love you, and I'll talk with you later in 2 weeks from today. This is Blake Ruby saying goodbye.